It's the Dork Podcast with Rich Keefe. It's the Dork Podcast
with David.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Ravid Von David. All hail the King of Ginger Ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Kicking so much ass, my feet stink.
Yeah,
I know that.
Oh, sure. No doubt.
You got the long weekend this weekend. Marathon Monday's coming up. Not to timestamp this,
no,
but
please. Yes, you get the long weekend. I don't have a long weekend. My wife does not have a long weekend.
That game don't stop, but...
No, that's true.
Apparently, education, it's just too much.
That's like, hey, I need to take a time out.
I live right next to like Hopkinton, like Ashland Hopkinton. So yeah. Like,
you're going to take in the front? You're going to take in the stat of that thing or what?
Oh, I'm going to sleep in tomorrow, Rich. I'm going to sleep in. Yeah.
Nice snooze. I would love to be able to sleep in one day, and maybe that day will happen for me. Next week is school vacation week for little CC Beans. So that just means.
Yep.
Daddy would not one, but two small dragons at home.
Well, what's great is that my children are on vacation this coming week.
Yeah.
And what's great about that is that I'm the one who has to take them to the bus in the morning. But my wife who works in schools is also off.
Right.
So there's no early bus for me. So if I have a late class, I get to sleep in.
Oh, there's nothing better in the world than that.
In a good snooze.
Yep. Oh God, I love a good snooze. And then my wife gets mad because Harrow sleeps in our bed. And then so I refer to him and me as the snooze boys. And I'm like, the snooze boys get a good snooze in. She's like, it's obnoxious. I'm like, can we please, we just need the snooze boys back together. She's like, there's no snoozing. We're up early. We have a shitload to get to because we have two great episodes this evening, both about popular television programs. So, but without further ado... How about this news since our last episode? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, which was an incredible graphic novel. We recommended it before. I think it was a pick of the pod before. If you haven't, go out and get it. It's one that you should just buy, put it in your collection, and read. So those who have read it know that this is amazing news. Those who haven't, just assure you that it is great news. They apparently are going to make an R-rated live-action version of The Last Ronin.
Which is great because this is coming off the heels. They're also doing a video game, I'm told.
Yes, yes.
So there's going to be a game tie-in as well, which is very nice. And again, like you said, if you are unfamiliar with this title, please check it out. We've talked about it a bunch, right? Yep. But like, so the it takes place. There's one turtle left.
Yeah.
And we will not at all. And it tells you the girls all the backstory, but like we won't tell you which one it is.
No,
but
we won't. And I feel like they don't. Yeah. Is it like the end of the first issue? Like you don't even know who it is for a little bit. And so we won't tell you because that's one of the cool reveals in the story. But it's pretty badass.
At the end, it's the end of the first issue. You find out who it is.
Yeah.
So it's not that much of a spoiler, but it's enough of a spoiler.
Yeah. No, check it out.
You don't want to know. Yeah.
Definitely. There's like a little bit of a turtle essence because that Mutant Mayhem movie was great. We both liked that quite a bit. And apparently the comics have been pretty good. So maybe we'll be getting this movie as well.
And I believe that one, the Mutant Mayhem, the one the Seth Rogen produced one, is getting a sequel.
Yes.
So
that was awesome.
Looking forward to that. Yeah.
That was one of the big surprises from last year or the year before.
Every movie that does voice work, and I feel not enough of them do this. Maybe it's like a cost thing or like a studio time thing. But so I was watching behind the scenes about that. And the four kid voice actors who played the Turtles, they had them all in the same room reading. So they're reading together and like playing off each other. Not enough animated movies do that.
That's smart. Hell, even some of the live action movies, we talk about Sin City all the time. Those actors didn't even meet each other. They're like, we'll fix it in post. Like that movie literally was just fixed in post. Speaking of movies, two movies that are out there in the theater right now, both getting reviewed really well. Both movies I'm interested in seeing, both Monkey Man and Civil War are both kind of killing it right now. Civil War, apparently the biggest A24 opening box office wise. Both are doing really good Roddy T scores. I want to see both. I don't know when I'm going to get to the theater again, but these are two movies that I definitely want to see.
Now, are you bringing this up because these are two movies you drafted in the movie draft?
Well, they just happen to be out right now. But also, yes, I did draft those in the movie draft as well. No, but they both look good. Like the so Monkey Man looked awesome right from Jump Street.
Right.
Civil War, I was like, I don't know. But then when you see the trailer with that part with Jesse Plemons and he's got the gun and the glasses.
Yeah.
And like pretty good. And like just so you're like, you're so unsure of what's going on with that guy.
This movie might be a little, depending on what happens in November, this might be a little bit too on the nose what goes down.
True.
But did you see, I think it was Goo or Mac and Goo made the shirt, when life gives you Plemons, you make Plemonade.
make Plemonade. No, the other Billy D made that, I think.
Oh, yeah. You made it. But if that shirt goes to market, I will be the first in line to buy it.
Plemonade. Dude, Jesse Plemons.
Life gives you Plemons.
Killing it. Dude, yeah. Jesse, we could do a whole episode just on Jesse Plemons. That guy's had a career.
What a career. And like, I think he gained weight when he did Fargo. Remember he gained like kind of like a bunch of weight?
Yeah.
And then he was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to take it off.
Yeah.
But, no, but one that, of the
now
great.
He's thin again now.
Is he thin again?
Yeah, he's thin again. Check out. Give Jesse Plemons a bing. Jesse Plemons 2024 a bing. He's slimmed down. And for Civil War, he slimmed down. So he was just like a little bit of a guy in Friday Night Lights. Just a little shit of a kid. Then he was Meth Damon in Breaking Bad.
Meth Damon.
Because people didn't know who he really was at that point. And then he's been kicking ass in all these movies. You're right. In Fargo, he and his wife are in Civil War together, right? Kirsten Dunst.
That's right. Yeah, that's where they met on the set of Fargo, and then they're back working together now. Look at him. Slimmed right down.
Slim Dickens.
Good or Slim Dickens. Slim Dickens tearing it up in the show.
Yeah,
right now,
he beating the piss out of the baseball a little bit.
A little bit, and then I'm 5'6", 260 pitcher, who's just like Maddox, like just straight paint.
You're a pitcher?
I got two. Slim Dickens. But again, Slim is not a choice for names. So I had to tie into the show here. I had to try Smoove is his announcer name. So it's Smoove Dickens, as in JB Smoove.
I like that. Smoove Dickens. We got a trailer this past week for Joker 2. I'm not going to try to say what it is. Do you know how to say what it is with the real name of the movie?
Folie à deux.
Stupid as shit. I right away don't like it.
But that shot with she draws like the lipstick on the glass and he like smiles into it, like that's A+ camera work. And I don't know how long that took to get that shot right, but man,
I don't know how good this movie's going to be. I have a feeling it's going to be similar to the first one in so far that I'm going to be like, wow, that was pretty good. Don't need to see it again. Like, I don't think I've seen Joker twice. I don't think I've seen it twice. I saw it once. We did a standalone on it. It was one of our higher ranked movies of that year. But like, I have no desire to watch it again. This one's going to be that, but with singing.
But it's more like, the more they talk about it, it's more like a Guardians kind of thing where it's like a jukebox kind of movie. Like, I thought it was going to be like a straight musical. Like, they were going to write original music for it.
No,
it didn't.
Mm-mm.
Which I don't know necessarily the point of this movie or like what it's trying to do with this character.
She better not sing one of her own songs.
Oh no, I don't think she. No,
you can't.
I don't
do
think,
that.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, Joker 2, Electric Boogaloo. I'll give it a rip, but
Folie à deux.
Folie à deux. So that annoys me. It just does. And so I'm not
just
like,
call it Joker 2.
Joker 2.
Don't be a dickhead.
Just call it Joker 2. That's what it is.
Like, buddy, you directed Old School. Like, we know who you are. Yeah, stop it.
Right. You are the guy sucking on Amy Smart's feet in Road Trip. Like, we know.
Yes.
We know what your story is. We also got the trailer for Maxine with XXX Maxine. Mm-hmm. This is, I think, going to be the end of the trilogy of the Mia Goth, X, Pearl, Maxine. Mm-hmm. Trailer looks pretty good. In Hollywood, fucking smoking,
Hollywood
smoking
in the '80s,
yeah, I like it.
People forget. So, like, New York in the '70s and LA in the '80s were just absolute dumpsters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and then they've recently become like these like cultural centers for us Americans. But man,
but
were they just dumps.
I'll give that one a go. All right, Ryan, we're gonna get to video game stuff in the next episode, as it is much more fitting for the next topic du jour. But what about this topic du jour, Ryan? Are you prepared?
What?
Y'all ready for bisque?
Well, I'm glad you asked because it's the topic of the day. And today we're doing Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 12, also known as the final season of Curb, or so he says. This ran on HBO, as it always does. You can stream it on Max, 10 episodes in total. We begin spoiler-free, as we do with all of our TV and movie reviews. Ryan, Curb Season 12, did you like it?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Now, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm is one of those shows, like, obviously it has, like, a story, and there are things that, like, go from one episode to the other. They also have a lot of very standalone-type jokes, and you can sort of pick it up here and there. And outside of, like, his appearance, even his appearance is pretty similar, but, like, they showed, in, like, the finale, we're not going to spoil it now, but in, like, flashback clips and stuff, and, like, you're like, oh, wow, like, that show started a long time ago, and he was definitely a lot younger looking. But for the most part, it's good. Like, I thought it was a good Curb season. Like, I laughed in every episode, I think.
There were, like you said, at least one laugh per episode, some harder than others. Like, There were some things that I actually laughed out loud. It's been a solid show for, what, 20 years? Like, I think it's 12 seasons, but it's been on for, like, 20 years.
Yeah, that's why, like, I think people are like, is this really the last year? Because I think they never debuted a season calling it the last season like they did with this one. But there were, like, these long hiatuses in between seasons. And there was, like, yeah, that could be it. Like, I'd be good if that was it. Because, like, I think Cheryl Hines did an interview a while ago where she was talking about how, like, you know, every once in a while then all of a sudden your phone rings and it's Larry being like, what do you think about it, like, another season? And she's like, yep, okay.
And it's funny that, like, that's exactly how the character and the show, because it's also like it's Larry David, but I think it's like a heightened version of him.
Yeah.
I that's how he would operate. Be like, nah, like, do you want to make another season? Nah, I don't feel like it. And then a year later, he's like, nah,
yeah,
I need the money or something.
You know? There was a good, like, he was on some red carpet and some guy was trying to interview him and he was just like not having it. But like, what, which that'd be such a difficult guy to interview. Like, if they were like, hey, Dork Podcast, Larry David, you guys have 15 minutes with Larry David, I'd be like, I don't think he wants to do it. I might just I might give him that courtesy and be like, sir, you don't need to do this.
Or let's call it a tight five.
Yeah. Just give me five quick minutes. But even then, I think he'd be so unimpressed to be on a podcast. It would be stunning.
Yes.
He'd be like, what is this for? Where does this go out to? Why does anybody want to hear this? I'd be like, I don't know the answer to any of that. I don't know, man.
What do you want to talk about for 5 minutes?
He's like, not golf. With you.
Yeah.
You're like, fine. Yeah. Understood. Where does Curb rank for you ballpark amongst sitcoms of all time?
I don't think it's at the tip of my tongue, but it's like, if you were a diehard Curb fan, I would hear you out as to why it's in your top three or four. But for me, I mean, it's like, there are middle seasons that I kind of ignored because I didn't really think it was like must watch TV. Whereas Seinfeld, I know these two go hand in hand, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but these two shows kind of go hand in hand where it's like, this is like the R-rated Seinfeld.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was never like must watch TV for me.
George was swearing, but it's weird. I have the same feeling. Like when we did our top 50 TV shows for the Dork Shared Gooniverse last year, I had it ranked pretty high. I think it was overall in our group pretty high. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. But when this season first came out, I didn't watch the first episode until like a month into it. And then I was like, oh, I'll wait till there's like five and then I'll watch them. And then I'll wait till there's another five and I'll watch them. So like, as much as I like it, it isn't like, oh shit, it's on this weekend. At least for me. I know a lot of people, it's like, hey, you know, whatever it is, Sunday night at 10, Curb's on, boom, you're gonna sit down and watch it live. That's fine. But for me, I always would like sort of binge it later.
And what I appreciate it, now watching the final season, it has been the same exact show throughout. love it or hate it, like it hasn't progressed really anywhere. And I think that's the tone of this whole season, is that like I never learned my lesson. Like I just do the same things throughout.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, so Seinfeld, I have number one. I would probably have the American Office up there super high. I would probably put It's Always Sunny above this. Although I would say for Always Sunny, the highs might be higher and the lows might be lower than.
Yeah, Curb. I think it's in the last three seasons of Sunny have been kind of wildly inconsistent.
Yeah. But,
so there's been some moments, I think, but like more laughs, but
yeah. It's definitely in the mix. All right, who's your favorite character? Not from this season, or it could be from this season, but just overall, who's your favorite Curb character?
I loved, was it Funkhouser?
Marty Funkhouser.
Marty Funkhouser.
He was the best. Rest in peace.
He was the best.
Yeah.
He was, but like, I just, whenever he was on the screen, like, yeah, you're laughing.
He was, I think, the best character. And then they tried to replace him, and they literally found the only guy that I like maybe more. And not, well, I shouldn't say on this show. Like, Marty Funkhouser is a legend. He's number one. But I'm such a massive Vince Vaughn fan, and for them to bring in Freddie Funkhouser on a show that's like a loose script and then kind of like ad-lib the rest of it, Vince Vaughn, perfect. Like, outside of Christopher Guest or like Michael McKean and guys from that realm, Vince Vaughn's probably the next best guy to be like, all right, here's the idea with this scene. Like, you're not happy with your new girlfriend. Go ahead. And then they just like rip, and like, he's awesome. And like, scenes with just Vince Vaughn and Larry David this season, or even last season, were some of my favorite things from the whole show. Like, I loved it.
Yeah. There's one scene where they're going back and forth, and it's the episode where they're talking, the guy has the stroke.
Yep.
And you can tell. So him and Larry David are like going back and forth, and I've watched enough Vince Vaughn enough times to know when he's off book.
Yeah.
And you can tell they're talking about this one thing, and he's just like, that's riffing the entire time. Like, Larry David's just trying to like react to what he's saying. And you can totally tell that it's not what was in the script.
There was a scene in the breakup. Remember the breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
Where it's like a random scene. They almost didn't need to do it. And it's between Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau in the bar, just the two of them. And you're like,
oh, and they're doing like, yeah, go ahead, keep saying it.
It was the funniest fucking thing in the whole movie. And I think I had the DVD of that. And there was like extra deleted scenes, or there was like, you know, like gag reels and stuff just from that. I'm like, they probably didn't really need to put that in the movie, but they were like, we got these guys, let's do this, because this is so much better than anything
we
have.
And the other famous one is in Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Like, Brad Pitt like couldn't. He's like, I couldn't film the scene where they're in the bar.
Oh, so good.
Because he's just like, I can't. Every time he did it, it was something different. And I was like laughing so hard, I was getting pissed. Because like every time he said something funnier and funnier and funnier.
Dude, I'm so glad that he was back on a big show. Because like, actually, he wasn't really on shows. He was really just on movies. And he had a run there. I would stack up Vince Vaughn's, now this goes over the course of 10 years. But like, Swingers, Made, Old School, Wedding Crashers. It's probably as good as anybody's four like comedy movies.
Like, that's, you know, people talk about, you know, well, that's all. He hasn't done anything since then. Well, you don't have to do anything else.
No, you're good. And he did like, he took a like that. The Breakup's one of those movies with Aniston. Yeah. He did like Four Christmases with Reese Witherspoon.
Right.
He also did a couple of serious movies. Did you ever
some
see
action stuff? Like, he did True Detective. And then he's tried like The Big Bad and True Detective, which didn't really work. And then he was in some like weird B movies. Remember, he's in like the Psycho remake.
He was in the Gus Van Sant shot for shot remake of Psycho as Norman Bates.
Right.
And that was like right around that prime too. It was like after Swingers, but it was before. Then he was in Jurassic Park 2. That was like a blockbuster for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Domestic Disturbance, where he played like the bad guy.
I never saw that.
Yeah, I think you probably did. That was like 01 maybe, with like Travolta, I think, was in it. And like, yeah, it was a weird one.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't remember that movie.
I think it was Buscemi in that too?
With this is all to say that he fucking kills it in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I love it.
We've gone down that path, but it's been,
Yeah.
This was a good season for him.
Yeah.
But I also love Leon.
Yeah, JB Smoove, great.
And it's just such like a he's the Kramer of this show.
Yes, he 100% is. He definitely is. Anything else non-spoiler? I don't think people really care at this point. But if you were waiting, because we might get into some of the jokes and stuff, and so you don't want us to spoil. So anything else non-spoiler?
No, let's do it.
Oh, do you have a season stone score?
I'll give it like a hard 4.5. Could be convinced to a 5.
Yeah, I'll go 5, probably based on. It's the last year, and even some of the stuff that I don't think worked as like laugh out loud funny, like, I appreciate what he did. There's a few things that we can talk about, like that I'm like, you know what, go ahead, like, dude, go ahead and do you, even though it wasn't like piss or pants funny. So I'll go 5. Dave's going 4.5. Let us know what you guys think. Curb Your Enthusiasm, at dorkpodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter and Instagram.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
So, basically, this whole season can be broken down. There was his trip to Atlanta, and then him getting arrested, him becoming a hero for Atlanta. All the stuff at the club, right? All the stuff, disgruntled, like all that stuff. Then there was his girlfriend that he was trying to get rid of, and then Sienna Miller, and then that whole thing. And then sort of like how it came to a close, and then the couple episodes with Seinfeld and basically mirroring the finale.
Yeah. And it was, I sniffed it out pretty early that like once he got arrested in Atlanta, I'm like, I know, I think I know where this is going. Like they're going to try to do, and there's a great line at the end where like Jerry's walking him out of jail. Like, oh, this is how we should have done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and again, the whole thing is like, he says in the final episode, the kid hits him in the face with the ball. And his mom's like, oh, I want him to learn this lesson. Like, you should apologize. Like, I want him to learn this lesson. He looks the kid in the face. He goes, I want to tell you something. I have never learned a lesson in my entire life.
Yeah. He's like, so I'm 76 years old and I've never learned a fucking lesson in my life.
And I thought they were going to end the entire season the same exact way and they almost did it.
They almost
did.
And
I was like, that's pretty genius.
Yeah. Once, there was two parts where they kind of referenced it. So when he got arrested, I didn't put it together then, but it was like a little bit later on, he was having lunch at the club with Rob Riggle, and Riggle's character was supposed to be a writer on Seinfeld. And they're like, oh, you must know so-and-so or whatever. Or like, and he's like, well, yeah, but Larry wasn't there for the last two seasons. And then they're like, but you were there for the finale, right? And he's like, yeah, I was there for the finale. And then like two episodes later, they bring it up again. They're like, yeah, but you were there for the finale. He's like, yes, I was. I was there for the finale.
So he was responsible for that.
Right.
That
so thing. Like they were like, so they made sure to point that out twice. So I'm like, this is clearly where it's going. And then when his lawyer forgot to like send in the thing, you're like, all right, this is clearly what's happening. He's like, we're going to trial now. Which also the good stuff with the lawyer, the dude from, what's his name? He does Smartless podcast, and he's on
Sean something. I forget.
Hayes? It's not
Sean Hayes. Yeah,
Sean
it's
Hayes.
It's not the guy, not French Stewart.
Not French Stewart. So Sean Hayes, when they're going back and forth about he's having a kid with his husband, and Larry David's like, so like what name did you guys choose? And he's like, well, like, you know, we decided to go with like Zekelman. He's like, Zekelman? It's like, your name's Mantle. Like, your last name is Mantle. It's like, yeah, that's fine. He's like, all right, well, whose sperm are you using? He's like, they're like, Jesus Christ, dude. He goes, it's like, he's like, all right, well, how about this? How about Ziggy Zekelman? If it's gonna be Zekelman, how about it be Ziggy Zekelman? And then he like Zekelman. Won't stop naming names. Wasn't one of them like Foots? Like he has like outrageous names for like
when... I don't know, but it was like, and then he was like, he sees the guy later and he's like, all right, so what name did you go with? And he's like, Larry, I'd like to keep our personal life and professional life separate. He's like, you went with Zekelman, didn't you?
Yeah, he's like, we went with Zekelman.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we went with Zekelman. I thought the Sienna Miller stuff was great. So like she's interested in him when he's not really available. Then they end up going out. And then you skip ahead and he's watching a movie, her new movie with her. And he's like, every scene she's just housing fruit. And he's like, God, you really like a lot of fruit. She's like, what? He's like, I don't know. I've noticed that you had a whole cantaloupe, a peach, a bunch of mulberries. And now you're just like, he's keeping track of her. But she's like acting her ass off. But like she's taking big chunks of apple every time. Oh my God.
It was so funny. Yeah, it's like a mother who like lost her kid. It's this like very serious scene. And she's acting her ass off through like a mouthful of apple.
She keeps, but nobody else thinks it's a big deal. Like the other actors are just like looking serious. The people in the audience are like looking serious. And Larry's like, when he rattled off all the fruit that she had eaten. He's like, he had a cantaloupe, he had mulberries. So then he gets into an argument with the guy behind him in the theater because he puts his coat behind his chair.
Which you don't do that. That's bullshit. You don't do that.
Put it behind you?
No.
No, I don't
either.
In a
movie theater? No, you don't do that.
I dress, unless it's like 30 below zero, like that one time a year, I wear something that I can keep on inside and outside. I don't think I ever take my jacket off. I wear like a light hoodie everywhere I go, every season. Like,
if you're at a movie theater, the jacket goes in your lap.
Yeah.
In a movie theater.
Yeah.
It doesn't go behind you.
Or plan ahead. Like, leave it in the car. It can't possibly be that cold from the car to the theater.
I'm going to tell you this. If I have a light jacket or like a heavy jacket in the winter, it depends on where I park.
You need
parking has a lot to do with it.
You need it going in. All right.
How far I have to walk.
Yeah.
You know, or does it put the whole outfit together?
That's true. Yeah. Does it,
these things need to be considered.
But they start out as a whisper. They're like arguing with each other over a whisper. And the guy behind him, I forget what the lead up line is, but he's like, you can't just drape your coat behind you like that's in my lap. He's like, there are rules. He's like, I'm married. I can't go to the mall and fuck any woman I want. Where did that come from?
I was thinking about it now too. So like, there's that whole thing where like, Sienna Miller's gonna get fired from like the movie she's filming
now. Yeah.
And Larry brings her a pair, and she crushes the scene she can't get through.
Yeah.
Here's a pair.
But then he's like, "Do you wear a different wig in every movie that you're in?" And she's like, "I have alopecia." Does she really have alopecia? She must.
I don't think so. I mean,
she must. Why would they joke about that? But I was like. But then that also goes back to our guy, Steve Buscemi, where he's selling him that car. And the car smells and fucking poor Richard Lewis is in there. And he's like, he can't smell anything because he has long COVID. And then Larry's just like, he's like, well, it could be worse. You could have a colostomy bag. And he's like, he stares at him. And then they're like, yeah, he had like a surgery. So he goes back and buys the car from him. And then turns out he actually never even had that.
He had an ulcer.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, he's totally fine. But he made him think he had a, yeah. Poor Richard Lewis. Richard Lewis was trying to, man, he looked awful this whole season.
I know.
I hate to say it.
But. I know. I felt so bad for him. And like, by the time they filmed it and the time they put it out, I think he died like halfway through the season, right?
Yeah. And it was, you could tell, because I know he had Parkinson's, but he died of a heart attack, but he had Parkinson's. And like every shot, he never walked.
I know. It was sad. Yeah. He was still pretty funny. You could tell like he and Larry were having fun in their scenes, but it was like, yeah, he didn't look very good. You're right.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else was fucking making me laugh. The billboard, Susie's billboard was pretty good.
Oh, anytime someone draws a dick on somebody, I'm going to laugh. There was one. And then it was like two. Like it's up in her sale. That actually helped.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Went way up. She was selling them like crazy after that.
The one thing that made me laugh, it was Tracy Ullman was like, they were having this conversation. It was like around a table and Vince Vaughn was talking about like this married couple that he knew and he was trying to like impregnate the wife.
Oh, yeah. He's having sex with his neighbor basically. Yeah.
And Tracy Ullman says something about like how she like releases a musk during climax.
She was hysterical. Like it got to the point where they needed to like kind of cut bait with that storyline, but like she was so funny because like Sienna Miller would be hitting on him and then she'd call Larry and be like, where's like my corn cream or whatever, or like
my corn shaver.
Oh my god, then he like yells at her back at her and stuff. And then it was pretty good too, like Vince Vaughn thinking that his girlfriend was like an exec at Disney. It turns out she's just like a Disney princess at the Disney store.
She just knows a lot about Disney.
No, she works at the Disney store, not like Disney. It's so good. And then they both give the same excuse. Then they both get out of there. And they're like, it could have been worse. And then the whole thing with the violin, that was pretty funny. Where like
that's what I was talking about. Yeah. Like he was riffing. He's like, I want to be the violin, not the kid. I don't want to watch over your kid. I'll sell the violin for you. And there's like a back and forth between the two of them, which is dynamite.
Well, they double up. Because he's drinking out of a flask while they're golfing. And they're like, what are you doing? He's like, it's classy. Like, what do you want? This is really classy. And then he's telling them about the dream scheme. So they use their own shit against each other, which is so good. You did my dream scheme. It's like, yeah, but what I don't like about it is like you did. He's like, not only did you do that, but then you stole my thing. And what was like a very nice thing that I had.
The dream scheme.
The dream scheme.
It was great.
So, yeah, I mean, it was good. And then as for the finale, like, why not? And I think because think about this, like every once in a while, we'll bring up the Seinfeld finale or people will bring it up. But I'm sure Larry David's heard about it. Forever, nonstop, from like random people that he does not give a shit about their opinion, and he still has to hear it. He's like, so you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna take this great show and I'm gonna do the same thing. The problem is, not that I liked the Seinfeld finale that much, But the Seinfeld finale, you had so many old classic characters coming back that it was pretty impressive just to be like, oh yeah, remember that? Oh yeah, remember that? Whatever. Whereas this one, it was like Mocha Joe and like a couple of other ones. And like, you didn't have the star studded, you didn't have like the soup Nazi and like, you know, Terry Hatcher. Like, you didn't have all those characters coming back.
Right. It was funny though to see, but the Mocha Joe one was a little too recent, you know, for me. Like, that was too,
That was pretty quick.
Yeah. But then they ended with like, it was the pants tent, which was like one of the, it was like the first episode. He's wearing corduroys.
Yeah.
And they did that in Seinfeld too, the button. So it was good. It was a good, and I got the theme of like, I never learned my lesson.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, and I said it to you last night when we were playing Tekken, like, this guy has made a career out of just being like the world's biggest asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, at least the characters in Seinfeld, you kind of liked. Like, George was a weirdo, but like, you liked that character. Whereas like, this guy's just if you were, you would not be friends with Larry David. No one would be.
No, it'd be tough. Yeah.
like you're funny, but like, man, you're a fucking pain in the ass. Like, everything's a fight.
Oh my God. When they were golfing, this is one of the early episodes, and they thought they heard a dog getting killed by a coyote, and they were like, ah, they finished the round, because then they come back, and Susie's like, wait a minute, you heard it when you were out there? And they're like, yeah, and you didn't come back in? And they're like, well, no, like, well, I mean, what were we going to do? She's like, I don't know, check to see if the dog, and if I was okay? And they're like, and then they're getting into like, well, like, would you leave the course if it was like me? And they're like, how was I playing? How good a round was I having?
Well, speaking of that, though, Lori Loughlin has a great cameo this season. And she's like, one of the funniest episodes was like her just being Lori Loughlin and like cheating at everything.
That was pretty funny.
And like buying her way out of shit.
That was
like, that was hilarious.
And the speech that Larry gave to get her into the club was pretty good.
The Gettysburg Address.
Yeah.
I was laughing at that too. So when he has to pee, when Ted Danson's given, because he has to recite, he reads it while he's peeing.
So
and then
good.
He just pisses all over the floor.
Cause he's like, do you know how much time we've wasted like peeing? Like that's good stuff.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's good. All right. Well, let us know what you guys thought of Curb season 12, but especially it being the final season, I thought it was definitely worth discussing. So there you go. Hit us up at Dork Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Send us an email, for God's sakes, whatever you want to do. That's how you can get a hold of us. Rye, promise me a million times over you'll never do another rule.
Yeah, man. I'm not going to promise you that.
Oh, also, for those that are watching on the live stream, jump on over to the next link as we're going to be talking about Fallout in real short order.